This is CliffCentral.com.
This show contains adult content. If you find it offensive, please go to the CliffCentral.com website where there's a show for you.
Well, it's good morning to you and to you and especially to the birth of you. First and foremost, it's a movie coming out, which is called Farewell, Ella Bella. I mean, the way it sounds is magnificent. But when you have the cast of Marianne Barlow, Chantal Stanfield, Sela Makaka-Ncube, you cannot beat a cast. And it opens on Monday. We'll speak about a lot of beautiful things. We're going to sing a lot of great things. But I want to tell you about one of the most incredible people on earth. I've had him many times in my presence. And it sounds weird. But you know when you speak about someone that's your hero as a small kid, and then you meet him across your journey in the entertainment industry and in the world, and then you admire him, you then respect him, you fall in love with him. He turns 70-odd, and you see him as your hero, and he is the one and only. Now, that being said, the woman he loves the most, well, he doesn't like her much, is in her 80s. Because there's nothing to say about her. I mean, she's just so opinionated. And she was, you know, she was that ambassador to a place called Babette Called Sweaty.
Yes.
Yes, you remember that place?
Of course, yes, I remember her.
But you know, when you have the honor to open a show on any day with Peter Dirkhuis, I think it has to be a phenomenal day. And it is a good morning to you. This is the Unview, the thin, the rich, but the fabulous. Now, here's the question, and I will ask you this. Who's ever thin? Who's ever rich? But guess what? We are always fabulous. Good morning to you, Peter Dirk. How are you, sir?
Oh, I hear the word fabulous, and I know it's you.
I know. How are you?
I'm fine.
You know, when in doubt, say darling. Are you well, darling?
Darling, I'm terribly well because it's been raining down here in the desert called the Western Cape, and suddenly little green things have popped out of the sand and out of the ground, and it's like, thank heavens, things have not died, they've just gone and hidden. And now suddenly we have flowers again, and spring seems to be in the air. So yeah, it's lekker, darling, especially in darling.
Peter Dirk, I must tell you something. When someone said to me, do you mind, Peter Dirk has something to say. I said, if Peter Dirk could speak to me every single day, it would make my life slightly better, more interesting, and most certainly different. Now, which is the best thing, I guess. How have you been?
Well, how have I been? It's been an extraordinary... last time I saw you was in Johannesburg when I was there, and since then I've been to Europe, to the Northern Hemisphere, and I did a three-week season in London with my show, The Echo of a Noise. I was at the Soho Theatre in London, and that was a really exciting experience being in a very young theatre. I mean, the Soho Theatre is a bit of a factory. They have two shows a night, one at 7 o'clock and one at 9. So, you know, so you're in the theatre and then out of the theatre because the next show comes in. And I was delighted to see so many of my audience were under the age of 30. And the theatre was delighted to see someone in my audience was also over the age of 65. So it was quite an exciting combination of the old and the new. And yeah, 3 weeks there, then I had a show in Amsterdam. I did it in Afrikaans, my bystander gepraat, that they could understand. And then I did a sort of a preview show in Berlin with Evita's sister, Bambi Kellerman. And that was
how
great.
Is she doing, by the way? I mean, she was a bit of a slut, wasn't she?
Not been around on our stages for quite some time, and I think it's time for her to kick the chandeliers because her sister Evita is very sour when Bambi is mentioned. So I like having the two sisters in different pockets, you know, not in the same pocket.
Well, that's good. But Peter Dirk, I must tell you, besides the show When in Doubt, Say Darling, which is coming out soon in the Western Cape, Voor Kamer Festival.
Yes.
Opens at the end of this month. And I want to just tell people about this festival. Because, You know, we talk about the African burning things, and people are burning stuff, and the flower thing, but this is a festival that has worked, that you created 13 years ago. Mm. That you've worked, and with people from the UK, Holland, all of this work that comes to a little place called Darling, that only works with the community to create a festival, is so vitally important. And the reason that no one understands how critical getting involved and loving people and creating it in your own little community can change the world.
You're right. You know, the word community is, to me, the jewel in the crown of democracy. I think at the moment we are so focused on government to deliver, which doesn't happen. They look after themselves first. But if we actually focus on our community, which means the people you know, the people who are your neighbors, the people who are working around where you live, the people who work with you, your children, your grandchildren, your partners, and really, truly, change our way of life by talking about the way things can get better. And the Food Commerce Festival is the most extraordinary example of reconciliation, where people come to my little venue, Ivica's Perron, it's the sort of hub, they park their cars, they get into a township taxi. Now, listen, how many white people leave a Mercedes-Benz to get into a township taxi without a gun in the back of their head? Okay. They get into the township taxi. The taxi takes them down into the town, meaning the community of Darling. They might go to an RDP house where there are 25 chairs in the one room, and there they will have a 25-minute entertainment. Then they get back into the taxi and go to another house in the community, which might be a bigger house, where there'll be a string quartet. And then they go to a third house where they will see another 25 minutes. So they have a really, truly a 1.5-hour festival experience in three different front rooms. Voorkamer is the front room. Mm-hmm. Do you know, it is the most wonderful thing. I mean, I'm in Cape Town at the moment getting my show ready here at the Food Guard for next week. Mm-hmm. But yesterday we had a meeting in Darling with all the owners of, as they say, what's the A&R Funny Theatre? My house is a theatre. And they have such pride and such excitement to be entertaining people from all over the country, but all over the world. People are now flying to South Africa to come to the Food Commerce Fest. And for the last 2 years, we couldn't do it because we just could not find the money. The money was just not available because of recession and various reasons. But this year, we are starting on the 31st of August, the Friday, then maybe the 2nd, the Saturday, the 1st of September, and Sunday, the 2nd of September, that weekend. And the booking is going boost and build and wonderlick. And I must say to you that the Food Guard Theatre has come in as a major sponsor and supporter of the festival by giving us the budget to perform, to pay our performers, because that is the heartbeat. We have 60 performers over those 3 days in 21 different theatres, meaning homes. And it is truly a life-changing experience for everybody concerned. And really, truly, I would love to see the country adopt this wonderful blueprint of reconciliation. You know, I've always said I want to use the F word to fight fear, and that F word is fun. And it's fun. It's fun sharing and enjoying and celebrating.
I love the fact that I've spent quite some time with you in your theatre, in your space, in your realm. It's a great word to use, the word realm, because a realm is given to someone that has a requiem, has a space, has a place of such greatness, such goodness, such kindness, and only for others to exist and be. And I've got to tell you, that's why I say, what an honor in my life always to stand near you, be close to you, and I cannot wait to come. I'm going to be being one of those oaks flying that flag of Peter Dirk Ace and honoring you, because I've got to tell you, the Voorkamer Festival has got to be, and I have never seen it. So firstly, I should open my damn eyes, number one. And number two, I've got to move my ass to come and see it.
Oh, yes.
And most importantly, Chantal Stanfield, who is a phenomenal actress, would like to say something to you. Please, Chantal.
Okay. Hi, Peter. How are you?
I'm good.
Fab. I'm also a UCT alumni. But yeah, like, you know, you came to speak at our like first year induction, what is it, induction, whatever it is. And I think this might have been just before the Voorkamer Fest started. And I actually made the pilgrimage in 2009 with my own show, one woman show that Natalia Da Rocha directed.
Yes,
and it
I
was
remember.
Yeah, and it was phenomenal. And it's one of those experiences as an artist that is so unique. So Alan, you're going to love it. It is one of the most extraordinary experiences where you arrive as the year before I went as just a patron, and the year afterwards is when I performed. I was like, I have to get in on this. And yeah, as an audience member, you literally, all you have, you arrive with your tickets, and you don't actually know what show you're going to see until you arrive at the house. That's part of what's so thrilling about it and so unique. So I'm like beyond thrilled that it's back. You know, I was really hoping to be there at some point, but then I saw that it wasn't happening. So I'm really glad that especially the Few Guard and obviously Evita Cipron have like brought it back to life again, because it's so unique and it's so special. And as you say, it's such a nation building initiative. Yeah. It's so fabulous and so fun. So,
well,
congrats.
Well, I look forward to seeing you back again. Remember, at the first weekend in September next year, we'll be doing it again. So keep in touch soon and then come back to us.
Oh, fabulous. I'll do that.
Mr. Okay. Ace, I always thank you. And you see how we connect people to the world?
Yeah.
Oh, beautiful. My friend, I love you with all my heart. Thank you for being my hero. When in doubt, what do we say?
When in doubt,
we say
darling.
Darling. We always face
it. This is at the Few Guard Theatre here in Cape Town from the 7th to the 25th of August. So if you are around, darling, come.
I shall be there, and I'm going to see you. Peter Dirk, bless you. Thank you.
Thank you.
It is hosted by so many countries, people from around the world. There's an open air concert. There are things that are going to happen. It's the end of August, the beginning of September. It's a way to open spring in Darling. And when the rain fell all over the Western Cape, it's been the best. Ladies, Marianne Barlow, Chantal Stanfield, good morning.
Good
to
morning.
To the
morning.
Show. How do we open? You cannot open better than that.
Oh, no. I mean, Peter Dirk Ace is such a doyen of the industry, you know. Mm. It's always great.
Now, Farewell Ella Bella. What an extraordinary movie. Tell me how you got involved and what it's about. Let's start. Why should we watch it?
I think it's the kind of road trip film that South Africa doesn't know that it needs.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that's very presumptuous, but it really takes the viewer who's traveled the road from, if anybody's traveled from Cape Town to Joburg or back on the N1 or whatever it is, they will recognize so much of the journey.
Mm.
And because so many of us have made that trek, there's that immediate connection.
Mm-hmm.
Also, it's not an in-your-face kind of, you know, like the typically American road trip films, which are full of like madcap adventures and whatever. This really is, it's fun for sure. And it just touches on pertinent issues without getting seriously bogged down. But it still leaves you with food for thought after the fact.
And it's a lot more understated.
Yeah. And there's a host of really cool characters.
There are. Mm.
So, I mean, you look at the photograph, I think there are quite a few, and you're both on people's shoulders. There's something about strength going through the Karoo, I guess, in that movie. I haven't seen it, obviously. Describe what it's like to be an ensemble in a film.
It's a little different in this particular film, and I think that's where, for instance, where we all viewed the film for the first time last weekend at the DIFF, the Durban International Film Festival. I think we even mentioned that in a press interview, the fact that we were all there together. We'd actually met many times before the film began filming. This company has been extraordinary in how they've brought us all together, and I think that's made a huge impact, because in actual fact, I mean, for instance, Chantal and I, we didn't work together. So Jay Anstey and Cello are obviously our two leading characters in the film. And it's simply their journey that they obviously take, both literally and physically and emotionally. And we as characters are introduced at various stages throughout the film. So what was quite interesting is that, I mean, we have quite a lovely big cast, but I mean, we didn't really work together, if that makes sense, but we've come together on so many occasions, both before, during, and after the filming process, that I think we've actually, it's a very cohesive production. Mm. So that's where Free Women Productions really ought to be hailed and admired. And I think we're all very grateful for the way in which they've actually...
Now I'm gonna try, hold on, play the trailer. Wait. I'm not that savvy. Let's see how it goes. Yeah, wait.
It's not you. It's
that senator better not end with it's me.
Trust me, Lee. You don't want me.
And I've been running away from the wise man in my head, and he said, "Go, go."
You do know how to do this.
Yeah, I mean, I drove Rain around a couple of times.
We're trying.
We love that music. Oh.
What? Are you guys thinking about me? So...
Well, I don't... Well, it didn't...
It's a beautiful trailer, you should...
Listen, I didn't realise there was two of you.
Oh, okay. There are people. We're trying. If Nathan Rowe was here. Oh, by the way, good morning, Nathan. As you landed at 9 o'clock, he'll be in. He's running.
Hey, Nathan.
How's it going? But I mean, firstly, Marianne, you born in Zimbabwe.
That's correct.
Interesting time.
Mm-hmm.
Igoli, Wild at Heart, the Schuster films, Jacob's Cross, the list goes on and on.
I've been very fortunate.
Nah, and lucky. And you in your the most midlife years, which are quite beautiful.
Well put.
Well, I'm also there, honey. Ain't that
fabulous 40s?
Well, they are. You know, you're dirty when you're 30, and you're naughty when you're 40. Yeah. But no one said that. And then, Chantel. You're a singer, a dancer, a puppeteer, Seven Alone, let's go on and on and on. And then there, the Gloria Estefan moment in your life.
Ooh, girl.
Ooh, I want to dance with somebody. It was Whitney, by the way, not Gloria.
Well, I did Gloria as well at some point. I mean, I think that's what, as a singer slash performer, triple threat, triple whatever, you kind of get to dip your hat into many baskets. I mean, that's a very mixed metaphor. But... I think it's the same as Mary Ann. Like, as a performer in general, there's no way you can survive and thrive by only doing one thing as a performer. Like, it's...
I've tried.
Exactly.
I really have.
But even there, it's like, it's you... You've been in so many series and so many soapies, and like, it's... That's just the figurative hat that we wear. You... Mm. Mm. That's part of what's great about the industry. So yeah, I've done. You can name a female singer. I've probably sung her songs.
So firstly, you know she's Lebanese.
Oh, Gloria.
Yes.
Is she?
Of course.
Oh, okay.
Father born in Lebanon. Please. And of course, Central America.
Mm-mm.
But you know, if you don't get anything, you're gonna get something. Let's do the loud. Let's see. Can hear it.
Mm-hmm. Is this Gloria or is this from my buried in YouTube
and the show? This is shocking. I don't know. Let's give it a shot. The rhythm is going to get you.
Mm. Wait, are you expecting me to sing?
No, obviously. Welcome.
I think Chantal's too young to remember this one.
No, I remember Gloria. Let me see if I can remember the words without Googling them.
Go, Chantel.
At night, off all the lights, there's no place that you can hide. Oh, no, no, the rhythm is gonna get you. In bed. Throw the covers on your head. You pretend like you are dead. I know it. The rhythm is gonna get you. 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 Rhythm is gonna get you tonight.
Sure. Yeah, no, that's all I'm going to do,
Chantal,
right now.
I am impressed.
I am super impressed.
As long as we had someone to do something in the morning.
That was actually the name of the very first tribute show I did. I wasn't even properly graduated yet. I was like 2 weeks away from proper graduation. And the name of the show was Rhythm's Gonna Get You.
Oh.
And it was four of us girls and one boy. Mm-hmm. 2005. It was cool.
Really?
It was really cool.
It was like the Miami.
Yeah.
Well, they said the South African.
That was the opening of the show.
See, you never know what you're going to get. You never know what you're going to do.
Well done, you.
So, guys, again, coming back to this phenomenal movie and two phenomenal actresses, I always ask this question: why get into the business? Marianne Barlow, start the story.
I honestly do believe that it's simply because there is nothing else you can do except be in this industry. So many people approach me, honestly, my entire career. They somehow think that you have a golden key to the industry and that you're going to hand it over and they're somehow going to be, you know what I mean, walking through this threshold and entering into this uniquely wonderful industry. But it's not like that. And I think people have a misconception about what the industry entails. Those of us who are in it and who remain in it know exactly what it entails. And it simply is, you cannot see yourself doing anything else. It is a passion that you have from birth. I can say that from my own personal experience. There's nothing else that you want to do. There's nothing else that you can do. Mm-hmm. If you can do anything else, I always say to people, if you are on the fence of, oh, I'd love to be an actor, but I'm thinking of being a writer, or I'd love to be a plumber, or you do anything else except be the actor. You can only be an actor, stroke, performer, singer, technician of this industry if truly that is your only passion and you cannot live or eat or sleep or breathe without this.
You know, a friend of mine, Matthew Coonan, has started something called the Red Fest.
Yes.
And they're going into their third year. Mm. It's incredible. The launch was exceptional. And there's a lot of media behind them. And we sat before we went to see Jonathan Rocksmith in Great Balls of Fire.
Yes.
By the way, go and see the show.
He is extraordinary.
The show's extraordinary. Kroger Barney.
Oh, wow. Mm.
I mean, it just, the list goes on of magnificent people on that stage. And you cannot believe that Jonathan's actually, you know, when he played, and I want to say this, when he played Liberace, thought like something was moving the keys because you couldn't understand, can the man actually do that?
Yes.
From Northcliffe High School. Mm-hmm. And he looks up and he plays it. So I said to Matthew, who is working with the Red School, the Red Red Hill School and all that stuff, beautiful people. And I said, Matthew, you know, you're walking into this industry. Do you know what you're getting into? And he looked at me and said, I did 6 years of freelancing. I've done this thing. Then I questioned him. I said, but you understand there's never going to be a stable income.
Mm-mm.
You know, it's such a great question to face somebody when you're an independent and you work independently and you are your own device.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds weird, but you either have that or you don't have it. And here becomes the secret to this whole business, which no one gets. I'm going to tell you the story. It's very simple. If you think it works from 9 to 5, please be an accountant.
Yeah, no shame.
Okay, no, no, no. If you think it works from 8 to 7, be a lawyer. If you think it works from 6 to 9, be a whatever you want to be. This business doesn't work like that.
No, of course not.
It's an energy. Mm-hmm. It's how you move. It's how you operate. It's what you do.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't see it any other way. So I get a sometimes people phone you Monday morning. How are you doing? I'm fine. It's 9 o'clock. Why are you in bed? Sweet mother of our Lord, have mercy on me.
All the time.
I have not slept for 7 days. It's only 9 o'clock. I'll be up at 10. It's okay. But that's the business.
Yeah.
Now imagine producing it.
Oh, yeah.
Being in it. Doing it, Imagine putting it all together and then hold that responsibility. Sure.
Huge.
It must be exhausting.
Mm, absolutely. Mm. I mean, I had experience of being all things to all people in my one woman show that I put on last year and this year now again at Theatre on the Square and then at the Baxter last year, where I was the writer and the actor and the co-producer of three runs. Mm. And people don't get it until you're in it. You don't get why you are sacrificing sleep, why you're sacrificing time with your loved ones, why you've missed a birthday again of one of your best friends, you know? Like, it's not personal. It's not even business.
It's just the way it is.
Yeah, it literally is. This is, like Marianne said, like, there's no other way to live but with the passion that you were born with.
Guys, there's a decade between you.
Is it just a decade?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, girl, yes, yes.
There is a decade. And if you think about it, Marianne, I mean, you came from Harare, you came to South Africa, and you started in Igoli, and it was, I mean, you were a villain.
I know, I was incredibly fortunate, actually. I mean, I left drama school, and I railed against the idea of being in a soap. For some reason, because I'd come fresh out of drama school, I had this very romantic idea that I needed to do children's theatre, and I wanted to be in the back of a combi and travel the length and breadth of our country and, you know, and pop out at schools with my feather costumes and I'd be a bird and be a plane. And
Chantal, stop right there. Watch. Marianne, what would you have sung on that combi?
Oh, no.
Give me five, baby.
Wheels on the bus go round and round.
No. What would you have sung, Marianne?
You are not going to get me to sing.
I am going to get
you
to do it.
No, you are not. We have a resident singer right here in the studio.
So the wheels of the...
So that's if you've ever had a child and you're in the car and you keep them occupied.
If there was a thing, could you rap?
Lord, no. Listen, I sang in the choir for my entire childhood.
What did you sing in the choir? What are we going to do?
No, I sang. I did sing. What did you sing? So many years ago, and I have put that time to bed.
Chantal, watch this.
No. It's not going to happen.
We can try.
Bless you. That's very sweet. No.
No, it's not that sweet.
I've known Marianne for what? The last 3 years. It ain't going to happen.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
We have tried.
I don't even sing in the shower anymore. I mean, I just don't sing. I just don't sing anymore.
But if you had to, what would it be? Okay, so let's go back. So in those imaginary days before that villain, you were in children's theatre. Now, what would
you that's the thing. No, I wasn't in children's theatre. I went straight into the world of soap. Soap became my life for a very long time. And villains don't sing. Villains don't sing.
Oh, they can.
No, doctors on Issy Dingo, they don't sing. No, they don't. Wild at heart. There's no singing game farm owners.
And Shuster?
Nobody sang in a show. Well, I didn't sing my Shuster. Angela did not sing.
Okay. One question. Do the wheels of the bus go
round and round
and
round and round
and
round and round.
The
wheels on the bus
Chantal.
Go round it.
Round and round.
Oh, must
all day long.
Oh, there you go.
This is my random melody.
What you said?
Children
harmony. Nine.
So you become a villain. And I mean,
that was a surprise.
It's kind of weird because then people like go like, who is this lady?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I'm fresh out of drama school and I was just so excited to be part of the industry. I was very fortunate to land the role that I did. It's a unique experience playing the bitch of the series. And with that comes a huge amount of responsibility. But I mean, I spent 6 years ensconced in that kind of role. And that was my primary introduction into, you know, the industry, into South African audiences. And I remember one of the first occasions that I was recognized, and this is so long ago now, but I mean, I was going down some escalators, somebody was coming up some escalators, and they simply looked at me, we had eye contact, and said, bitch. And I remember being so, I was standing with my mom, we were shopping, and my mother was horrified, and I was thrilled, absolutely thrilled to my absolute feet, because I was, I'm doing a good job. Yes. This is fantastic. They believe me. I'm a bitch. But I mean, really, through the duration of that time, I must say, people were on occasion quite bizarrely rude. There's no level of privacy. There's no, you're a stranger to these people, essentially, but they see you in their living room every night. So
yeah, there's no
they're
barrier.
Intimately acquainted with your
And Chantal, when
emotions.
You did Seven Delon, yeah. I mean, it must
same
have
sort of thing.
The same.
Similar, yeah.
Mm. They know you. Like you.
I mean, similarly to Egoli, I think Seven Delon's actually one of the well, on the SABC channels anyway, it's got one of the biggest viewerships.
Huge.
Always has had.
Yeah, yeah. Always.
So, literally, I appeared, I think it was the year after drama school that I got it. Mm-hmm. But I appeared the night before, I think it was like a Wednesday night, for the last 5 minutes of the episode. Just mm-hmm. a, hi, how are you? My name is so-and-so, whatever. The next day it started. Mm-hmm. Literally, out at a mall. And
it's
immediately
instant.
Someone was like, you, weren't you in Seven Delon last night? It's like, Cecile, yeah. It's instant. And
it's
that
remarkable.
Same thing of no barriers between you and the audience.
Yeah. Physical or otherwise. People will hug and kiss you.
But,
yeah.
But there is an understanding that there is a barrier called a TV screen. Unlike the stage, which you've both played on.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
When you have that intimate experience with the audience, and then the fourth wall walks in, and then all of a sudden, wow, yeah. You didn't expect that reaction.
It's incredibly different from the actor's perspective, but from the audience perspective, I would say that the screen actually doesn't exist. That's been my experience. But from an acting perspective, absolutely. That's part of the joy, I think, of dipping your toe back into the theatrical world, because there is a synergy that when it exists between an audience and an actor, it is just sheer beauty. That's what I particularly thrive on as a performer.
Absolutely.
And now we transgress into film, which is kind of a living legacy. Now, let me explain to you what I'm getting at. When you do something on stage, it's in the moment. When you do it on TV, it's for the series. Mm-hmm. When it's on film, it is forever. Different.
Very, very different.
It's interesting. I mean, this is my first full-length feature film. Mm. So I'll be curious to see what happens or what the payoff is in terms of audience. And 'cause I think that'll be a completely different kind of fan. As we said before, the TV audiences are very like of the Afrikaans word is fatterig. You know, like, you know, it's like
that's a great word.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Like you are their person that they're gonna hold onto you and touch you and do whatever. The film, the stage audience is a bit more respectful of your space, very much, even though you are within arm's length.
Correct. Yeah.
The film, I mean, you would know, Marianne. Is there a difference?
There is a difference. Subtly so, yes, I would think so. Television is more disposable in a way because it is nightly, for instance, when you are in a, you know, in a daily series. Because, I mean, what you're doing that night, as you say, it's quickly consumed and onto the next episode. Mm. But you're right. There is a lasting image and feeling that I think the audience gets from watching a film. It's an isolated experience that you're going into that beautiful big dark theater and you're
with
absorbing
lots of
that.
Stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And obviously, if you've done your job, if we've done our jobs correctly, I mean, hopefully you transport that audience member and they leave feeling different. You know what I mean? Entertained on some other level, but just different. That's our role, obviously. So I think there is a different impression that you leave on an audience member for sure.
Have you been in radio, either of you?
Not professionally.
Not yet.
I do a lot of voiceovers, though.
Yes, yeah. We love a mic.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay.
Actually going to an audition right now.
So tell me, what's your voiceover that you do?
I do.
Because you've got puppeteer. You're a puppeteer.
Yes, yeah.
You have. So what is your fun voice?
Okay, wait. You got to give me a character and a line.
A line, okay.
Yeah. We need script.
Okay,
yes, we need script.
We need scripts.
Okay. I'm a little creature. And I feel very sad.
I'm a little creature and I feel very sad because I'm all alone in this big wide world and someone is renovating in the studio downstairs and I don't know what to do. Please help me.
Okay. And now you're a big person in the small little world with a renovation downstairs.
Oh, God. It's too early for the deep voice. Would somebody please please curb that infernal drilling downstairs.
How dare they?
How dare they?
How dare
Yeah, that wasn't amazing. It was alright.
Do you have your own voice that you do?
What do you mean, like for?
Well, for a thing. So if I had to say, I want to cast you in The Simpsons as a voice, what would you do?
Oh, wow.
Well, obviously you get a character brief. You need to follow your character brief, correct?
Yeah, but yes. You have your brief. You know something. Here's a game. You're in for a voice. Go.
Well, you know, one of my favorite characters is Cheryl from Edenvale.
Really?
I love Sharon a lot. She's my favorite. She's about 47 and her two kids are at King David Victory Park because they couldn't get into the other one, you know? Very big scandal. And my husband's name is Larry. Yeah, he's got a locksmith business and we're doing very well. But you know, my in-laws are coming over for Shabbos on Friday, so I need to go get some kechel, all right?
And Marianne, you would be?
No. I'm not playing this game.
play the game. What would you do?
What would I do?
I could, be honest, I could see you being very angry.
Ooh, I just heard that. Look, voice work is an actor's bread and butter, so I think we're all very grateful for voice work.
I want to come back to a little interesting story. So when I joined 702 with Gareth, those 100 years ago, 20 years ago, I lost quite a lot of weight.
Yes.
For the sake of point. And I sat at MacRib in Sandton and I ate chips. Lots of chips. Actually, I was eating just a plate of chips. And a woman came up, she says, "Aren't you meant to be on diet?"
Oh,
wow. I thought, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph.
You can't. This is the problem with putting your personal life out that it comes back and bites you.
So, when you put yourself on television, you're in that character. On film, you're that character. But when you're in real life, you're that real life. And it is the truth because that's what you're doing immediately. But the weirdest thing is people don't get it because they still don't understand you have a personal space.
Some do.
Well, hold on. People always have respect. Always have respect.
No, they don't, funnily enough.
Well, not all people, but people still see you as that.
Yeah.
But you know, I've met many, many an actress in my life. I've had the pleasure from around the world. And the strangest thing is you still get that boom. Like, don't I know
you? Yeah, I've even done that. I mean, it's embarrassing. I was in the middle of New York and I was pounding the pavements and a gentleman rode, he's on a bicycle and he was cycling and a dog ran in front of his bicycle and he almost ran over this little terrier. And he was so upset. He jumped off his bike and everybody's, oh, is the dog okay? And I looked up at this man and I went, Hi, it's me. I mean, I can't believe I actually did this because it's happened to me so many times. And of course, he gave me a look as if to say, gosh, no, I don't know. Don't you know. It's me.
But you're beautiful.
I mean, here? And, oh my God.
He thought maybe I kissed one.
No, I honestly thought that he had somehow been at nursery school with me. Or, you know that odd, bizarre, I can't place you, but I know you. Yeah. It was Liv Schreiber.
Oh my God. No.
And I mean, if that's happened to me once, it's happened to me 10, 15 times. And I did it to Liv Schreiber. On the streets of New York. I mean, really, what was I thinking? But that was just the powerful connection that you feel. I knew this man. I knew him.
I'll tell you a weirder story. Do you want to hear a weirder story? Actually, I have a few. But also, but it happened because, especially on your own ground, you don't expect them on your own ground. Them, meaning these humans.
These overseas ones, yeah.
So I'm walking in the waterfront and I'm trying to look for Havaianas because my feet are hurting these damn shoes and I want to go to the beach and that's what I want to do. And my big, beautiful legs are going to do the thing. And I'm walking and I'm looking and I thought, oh, you know, I know this woman. She's, what a lovely lady. Her hair looks beautiful. I said, you know, these are much better. And it's like I'm speaking to my mother. It's like the weirdest feeling. And I'm looking at her and she had a cap on over her head. And I thought, did I go white? I'm sure we been. So I said, you know, I think we went white river raft. I said, in Zambia. She said, I've never been to Zambia. She said, on the Colorado. I've never been to the Colorado. But you look, and I'm I said, anyway, we're having a chat and we're going through this like a normal person's conversation. Mm-mm-mm. Like, I said, I know you, man. I know you. Anyway, she looks at me, she said, I don't know. And I said, it's fine. She said, can I ask you, my daughter is dying for some African work. Mm. She said, let's go there. And as I look, she lifts off her cap. And I said, oh my God. Miss Streep, I'm very sorry. Please, I'm so sorry. Fact.
Okay, that's worse.
Nah, that's bad.
That's worse.
What you end up doing with that is you go, I want to tell you a story, but what I did, please excuse me.
Bless her. She sounds like she was really lovely.
Wow.
Kept
well,
going,
after half an hour. No, she didn't. She just wanted to get this African piece of something. And she just thought I was an interesting person that found information. Well, you see, the fact is we're all human beings. Mm-hmm. And that's delightful.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so you can be that, you can be the other thing. But if you resonate through it, it's you.
Mm. Yeah.
And I guess people identify with that. Coming back to Farewell, Illabella.
Mm.
What makes this so, why is this journey so unique?
It's a global story. I think that's what's rather nice.
Explain
about
this. Explain the global concept of this.
You know, South African film has often struggled to translate to international audiences, I think. We're exotic and interesting up to a point with regard our relative, you know, issues, which are political and apartheid and, you know, all these contentious subjects. But I mean, you know, it's about telling human stories. Farewell, Illabella is very much a human story. It could be set here, it could be set anywhere in the world. It's an identifiable emotion of grief, of loss, of all sorts of human emotions that is not specific to our country, to our language, to our culture.
Mm.
What we do obviously showcase then uniquely is this beautiful country of ours. Mm. So in terms of taking the road trip that Chantal mentioned earlier, I think that really does a very good, you know, it's a lovely calling card for South Africa because we do have such a lovely country.
Absolutely.
So I think it's easily identifiable. It's a human story.
Mm.
Human story.
Absolutely.
Anyone can relate to that.
Why would we go and see it? Because there's a reason.
There's always a reason.
The question. It's a good question. Because a lot of South African movies don't seem to translate to South African audiences in some sense, besides Schuster.
he's had a winning combination. He has, yeah.
No, it's fair.
Yeah, he has.
I saw Sisters.
Right. Phenomenal. The African ones, I didn't.
Phenomenal. Yeah, okay. Yeah. There are things that you see, that you watch, that resonate.
Mm.
And often we watch a movie. Or why should we go and see the South African movie? And that's the reason that it has to be sold. So I'm asking you to tell me, why am I going to see this film in particular, which we will, Farewell, Illabella.
Yeah. So I think the first kind of calling card is the cast. Because if you've been in South Africa at any point in the last 20 years, even 23 years to 20 years, whatever, you will know the cast. You will have seen them in various guises on soapies and series.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the first film that has kind of gathered them all together
mm-hmm.
from various spheres, very genre. Yeah. So you have like Cello, who is obviously we all know is Archie Moroka from Generations, you know, who's just like this legend of an old dude. He's one of the OGs, okay?
he's beautiful in this film.
Yeah. Mm. All the way through to obviously Jay Anstey, who's also the lead, who's who people will remember from Isidingo from just a few years back. And between those two, there's the rest of us who kind of cover all kind of quote-unquote racial boxes.
Groups,
age groups. It's the spread of interesting faces who you will know and be like, oh my word, I remember. And I know that person was really good in that role. I want to see that. I want to see what the story is. And this character looks really interesting. Let me go check it out.
I'm so honored to have you both here because I haven't met you before. I've met Jay.
Yes.
Okay. On quite a few different platforms.
Mm-hmm.
Top billing.
Yes.
She's wonderful.
We connected filming, doing stuff, all that lifestyle, and boyfriends, whatever it goes. No, but seriously, before Jonathan and all this, she's an incredible actress as she entered Isidingo and beautifully kind and beautifully generous.
She's so young, but she's been around forever.
Marianne, I'm not going to... What do you, naughty when you what? 40, keep quiet. Watch your mouth. We are in our middle ages, you know. Well, sweet Jesus. But I want to tell you about Sela Makakangombe, which is a beautiful story. And I was telling you outside, but let me share the story because you might smile. So Gareth Cliff and I go off to the Fanbury Air Show. So fancy. Aren't we fancy humans? Whatever. Anyway, I decided that I had to see The Lion King because I saw it on Disney. You know how it goes.
Yeah.
And what ends up happening is that I get one ticket that you buy from a peddler on the side of the road. And then it was £80.
Yes.
Which is a lot of money.
It's a lot to hand over to a man on a pavement.
Yeah.
Praying to Jesus that you'll find it somewhere.
Yes.
Well, whoever you want to pray to, but I'm praying to Jesus. That's what we do. And I sat in the theatre and this show opened. And this song opened with Rafiki on the stage and this man lifted the little Simba. And I was like, oh, it's that guy.
Yes.
Okay, that I saw at Thabo Mbeki, who did the poem at his inauguration. And I was like, oh, good Lord, can you believe this? So I had to stand at the stage door, which I have never done before, but did 5,000 times later. I've met so many people, Kelsey Graham, I've met them all.
Oh, wow.
Just bang on the door, give them flowers and say, you're brilliant. Oh. Not even knowing, because it's kind of cool just to watch a show.
Yeah.
And Selma Kanumbe walked out and this man, I said, hello, Selo. He said, I've never, how are you? And he said, let's go and have a beer. Oh,
as only he can.
But he was going through sobriety and he didn't want a beer. And then he didn't want a woman, nothing. And he had been through a bit. And we sat there in a pub next to the theatre talking about the history of life in his eyes. And it became one of the most special experiences, both Jay and them.
Yeah.
So I wanted to say I honour you today, both of you, by, if Farewell Ella Bella has anything to go on with the four of you, sweet, sweet people, go and see this show.
Oh, and there's more. There's others.
Of course. No. I'm just starting. We're gonna fulfil it for a long journey. I want to thank you for being with us, guys.
Thank you for having
and
us.
And it's
thank
such
you.
A pleasure. And it premieres on Monday?
Well, yeah, the red carpet premieres on Monday, but it opens officially nationwide on the 17th of August.
That's
so
right,
if you're going to come and see it on that first opening weekend, because as we know, that's kind of the litmus test for how long a South African film stays on the circuit for. So in that first weekend, that first week, make your way.
Yeah.
And Tuesday's a half price somewhere, so, you know.
And if not, you know what? Movie ass, pay for something that's worth it.
Yeah. Exactly. I'm a firm believer that obviously we're in the industry, so we need to support it. But we should be a lot more proud of our local produce.
Absolutely.
And let's not allow for the cheat. The cheat being that someone else tells you about it, then you get away with it. And the second cheat being the fact that you think you can see it later. Because if you don't help now, not help, that's rubbish,
support
nonsense word.
Yeah.
If you don't want to watch it, then please don't tune in later. Don't wait till the Academy Award comes in and watch Stotsen.
You know?
No. Don't wait for some guy to win an award to get District 9.
And it then suddenly it becomes viable.
Work that way.
Yeah.
Ladies, please stay in studio because on the line, we're going to be Poralicious. Have you been Poralicious?
Sonia, I haven't been Poralicious, but I know that Sonia's show is phenomenal and I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Well, I mean, she started in 2004.
She did, yeah.
I mean, that's a hell of a long time. And also, she's also in her naughty 40s, I would imagine.
Yeah.
I believe her birthday's in May. Like she's a Taurian.
Ooh.
Born 1978. Sonia Aguera, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
I'm very good. I'm drinking coffee, and that's always a good place for me.
Well, at least you're not drinking something else, you know?
Whiskey's at 9 in the morning there.
No doubt it. So tell me, Sonia, first and foremost, this is such a phenomenal satire piece that has now transcended for 14 years. Interesting.
I know. Thank you very much. It was a huge surprise. I was just, when I wrote that first play, it was just this little voice telling me to write it, and I never, ever, ever expected it to snowball the way it did. So it was just like a blessing that I'm really grateful for.
So now tell me, I mean, you're Portuguese.
I am.
Are you Madaring? Or are you Lisboa? I'm not Portuguese, but are you Lisboa?
Madaring?
Are you Madaring?
No, I'm not. I'm not.
Oh, you see, I just offended the entire Portuguese culture, which a Lebanese should. Continue.
No, my family's from Portugal, close to Lisbon, actually. But the family that I portray is Madrid, because it's just such an iconic part of the South African Portuguese culture, and I wanted it to be as recognizable as possible to kind of break down those cliches that we have about our culture.
The culture is such a beautiful culture, and people always think that let's go to Lusito land, because that's that's how we get to experience the Portuguese culture. I think a lot of South Africans, and we're speaking about Farewell Ilhabela, a journey from the Western Cape through the country. I think a lot of South Africans don't understand, and Marianne Barlow, a lot of Zimbabweans don't understand, that we all are coming to a central point called being African from all our different cultures.
Mm. Yeah.
And the coolest thing is when you can laugh at each other, when you can make a joke, and when you can use the space beautifully to understand that there is a living land that we stand on together. And if we don't do it together, bringing each other's cultures together, we're never going to get it. So tell me about your culture that is so wonderful, besides love and Prozac. Which you told me, by the way.
Love and Prozac's a whole other show. But yeah, my culture, you know what, you're 100% correct. And people have this this notion of what it is to be poorer, and it's, you know, that we all have corner cafes and we sell fruits and veg, and you know, we eat peri peri chicken and Russians, and that's it. And that's actually it's a diluted immigrant experience of being Portuguese, you know. But Portuguese food, for example, even if you go to Portugal itself, you are not going to get the peri peri chickens. They don't even have peri peri there. That was that came from Mozambique.
From Mozambique.
That we colonized not only their land, but their recipes as well. But yeah, you know, it's a totally different, very romantic, very quaint culture and experience. And the people are very, very romantic, and they have a very dirty sense of humor as well. And it's, you know, it's like all kind of Jewish or Middle Eastern or Mediterranean countries. It's very family orientated, very traditional religion, you know, that sort of thing. And you know, growing up, it's confusing in that kind of environment, because I belong to immigrant parents who came here, and they were treated in a certain manner by certain part of the South African community. You know, they were looked down on and stuff because they were different.
You see, Sonia, this is the entire point. Wherever you came from, you were looked down upon for some other reason. Now, if you're a Xhosa, you were that. If you're a Zulu, you were that. If you're a Afrikaans from Bloemfontein, you were that. If you were from the Western Cape, you said ek nat ek. If you were of mixed Malay, you were what is that? Mixed. I mean, come on. Do you get? And if you were a Leb, sweet Jesus, have mercy, mommy, on us. We would be smashing everybody up in the South. But hey, what South? Call Africa. I mean, can you believe that this is how the mentalities progress? But the coolest thing, Sonia,
I think it's a human condition.
It has to be.
People are ingrained in them that there's got to be some kind of a hierarchy within them, whether it's rich or poor or a cultural thing or a religious thing. People are always going to try to find ways to make themselves feel better. Because
validation.
We are all deeply flawed people, and we all have, you know, low self-esteem and stuff. And the way people deal with that is by putting other people down to make themselves feel better, you know?
Tell me, Sonia, can you sing?
It'd be a very short show and very unsuccessful, if I say.
Now, as you go, bada 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 bum, bada 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 bum, bada 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 bum.
Pam, 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 pam.
Come on. That's kind of cute.
No, that one makes its way to every
show. I know, it happens everywhere.
The audience would love it.
Absolutely. I haven't seen the show, but I must tell you that the by word of mouth is very important. And I believe it's incredible. And I love the fact that you're going into another run, which means people really want to see it.
Mm. They do. It's been it's just so amazing to be up there because people just laugh. I mean, they just laugh so much and they appreciate it so much. You know, it kind of brings them some kind of catharsis, these shows. And I'm not just talking about the Portuguese community. Now I get a lot of people from other immigrants, minority groups, and black people, Indian people, Jewish people. Some people even email me and just say thank you. It was my story up there, and I didn't know I was the only one who felt that way. And you made me forget my stress for an hour. It's actually an hour 50. And I laughed so hard, and I felt so good. And that's like, geez, it just gives me such a great purpose, you know. It makes me feel so good about what I do, and I love it. And it's amazing to have people laugh so hard and appreciate my jokes and the story I'm trying to tell, because it's important to me, you know.
Sonia, may I do this? Because I want to just tell you something. I don't know what's going on. Sonia, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Sorry. Sonia, I will say one thing that's quite important, is that it's important to do what you do. Now, I want to give you a gift, because it's very important to give you a gift. You know, from the South, the Lebanese, our lady will look after you. Don't worry, mommy. It's okay. Trust me, I know what I'm talking about.
Is it a statue of Mary?
Our lady's always with us. You can just go to the two churches. You know, we've got poorers and Lebs, all the same thing. But I will say one thing. You know, it was incredible when my big fat Greek wedding came out, and the whole world started going, oh, wow.
Yeah.
And can I ask you a favor? Please, would you make my big fat Portuguese Lebanese wedding?
Well, I am writing the movie, which is why I did this play again, because I stopped them in 2011. But the thing is, I'm struggling with the love interest for this, because I don't want it to be the normal, you know, she's an office
boy. Oh, please, Sonia.
Kind of, it's so boring. Yeah.
Sonia, meet a gay Leb. You'll have fun. We'll have enjoyment. Please. Don't miss the show. And I want to just tell you one thing for certain, is that it's going to be beautiful, because dreams can come true. Please go and see Farewell, Ella Bella. Sonia, when is your show on upstairs at the Peter Turin?
August 15th to 2nd of September, and booking is essential because it's sell out fast and there's double shows on Saturday.
I wish you the best. Marianne Bolo.
Thank you so much.
The Zimbabwean elections. You know what? I'll say one thing. People will come together when they must.
Amen to that.
And Chantal Stanfield, my puppeteer friend.
Thanks so much.
Be happy. Guys, dreams can come true. Have the best day. Thank you for being on the show. My name is Alan Ford. Nathan Rowe is not with me, but this is Cliff Central. And we are the Unview. Do it with me. The thin.
Thin.
The rich. The rich. But we are always the fabulous.
This is CliffCentral.com.